Radio Daily for, yes, another Anti-Friday, but that's alright. That's alright. The only good thing about this day means we can cross it off and get ourselves closer to another weekend, so yay for that. Hey, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks bringing the tea today, well, the lady that knows how to put things into perspective. That there is the Flintstress.
People say the Lord works in mysterious ways. As if that makes all the shitty things in life any sweeter.
Oh, well, okay. Hi. Hey, you know, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn, and thank you so much for all your love.
Thank you. You're most kind. In fact, you're every kind.
Every single kind that there is. What happened on this incredible day of yore, yo?
Well, in 1858, Charles Darwin receives an academic paper from Alfred Russel Wallace that draws conclusions regarding evolution nearly identical to those he himself, Darwin, had made. So he published his own theory of evolution.
So why isn't the other guy credited with that? Huh. 1908, a short, precise letter published in the journal Nature, written by A.E. Campbell Swinton, describes the 444K characteristics of an all-electric television system. Wow. However, it will take over 3 decades for the idea to come to fruition.
In 1912, Peter Hewitt is issued a patent for the mercury vapor lamp.
1979, Microsoft releases Microsoft BASIC for the 16-bit Intel 8086 microprocessor. The release of this high-level language will lead to the widespread popularity of 16-bit processors.
I wonder if they considered it a high-level language. Calling it BASIC was them being, like, ironic. I don't know.
Anyways, don't you think?
In 1981, the U.S. Department of Agriculture publicly announces the creation of the world's first genetically engineered vaccine, which is designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease.
1983, the Space Shuttle Challenger is launched on its second flight. The 7th U.S. shuttle mission carries the first American woman into space, specialist Sally Ride.
1990, the Star Trek Next Generation episode, The Best of Both Worlds, Part 1, is first aired. This is one where Picard is abducted by the Borg, who are on a course to Earth.
Much to Randall's disappointment. 1992, the Los Angeles Times runs a story on Kevin Chang, a high school senior who took the top prize in an area computer science competition with a program designed to improve traffic flow by automatically controlling acceleration and braking using an infrared sensor to monitor the distance between a car and obstacles. Huh. Wonder what ever happened to that.
In 1996, Ted Kaczynski, alleged to be the Unabomber, is indicted on 10 criminal counts.
1999, in a nod toward the future of digital technology, George Lucas screens Episode 1 in 4 theaters on digital projectors.
Wow. In 2002, Atari and Infogames released the role-playing game Neverwinter Nights for Windows in North America.
2004, comic book publisher CrossGen Entertainment files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Tampa, Florida. The company owes $3 million to their top 20 creditors. In October, Disney will buy them for $1 million.
In 2005, Google Maps adds maps of the entire world with countries labeled. Previously, only Google Maps covered Canada, the U.S., and the U.K.
You know, the only places that matter. 2006, the first Kazakh space satellite, KazSat, is launched. It is a geosynchronous communications satellite built at a cost of $100 million.
2009, in the case of Capital V. Thomas, a federal jury rules that Jamie Thomas Rezit liable for $1.92 million in statutory damages for infringement on the copyright of 24 songs that she shared on Kazakh in the nation's first RIAA file-sharing case to go to trial. They later reduced the damages, but still, this is they were trying to make an example of someone.
Yeah, they were. Also 2009, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, a NASA robotic spacecraft, is launched. Birthdays?
Renee Olstead is 29 from The Secret Life of the American Teenager and Unfriended.
Richard Madden is 31. That's Robb Stark in Game of Thrones and Prince Kit in Cinderella. Since which one 31. Do you know him best for?
Alex Hirsch is 33, the creator of Gravity Falls.
Brian Benben is 62 from I Come in Peace, Dream On, and Private Practice.
Carol Kane is 66 from Dog Day Afternoon, When a Stranger Calls, Taxi, Transylvania 6, 5000, Scrooged, and Adam's Family Values.
Miriam Flynn is 67 from Vacation, Grandma Longneck in Land Before Time, and Grounded for Life.
Linda Thorson is 71. That's Tara King on The Avengers, not those Avengers, and Marblehead Manor.
No, The Avengers, the good ones. Nick Tate is 76 from Space 1999 and The Overrated Hook.
No longer with us, born on this day in 1901, Llewellyn Rees from Carry On Emmanuel, A Fish Called Wanda, and Splitting Heirs.
1904, K.E. Luke, Lee Chan in the Charlie Chan series, the original Kato in the 1939 to 1941 Green Hornet radio serial and movie serial, Dr. Lee Wong Hao in the Dr. Gillespie series, Kung Fu, Brack in the 60s Space Ghost, Mr. Wing in Gremlins, you know wow. This guy from everything.
Born in 1908, Bud Collier, Clark Kent, and Superman in radio and cartoons.
1914, E.G. Marshall from 12 Angry Men, the President in Superman 2, Art in Christmas Vacation, and everyone forgets, the Tommyknockers.
Well, on CBS TV tonight, we have a rerun of Mom, Beyond the Roster, NCIS New Orleans, and after a killer leaves his victim, his female victim, encased in cement, Holmes and Watson, Pursuit of the Killer, introduces them to the world of clean technology on a new Elementary.
This will often happen. Sure. ABC, The Bachelorette and Proposal.
On NBC, Don Cheadle is running wild with Bear Grylls, and then American Ninja Warrior.
On Fox, it's new. So, you think you can dance?
You think you can dance? On the CW, Supergirl and her crew battle Serena with the hope of saving Earth on a new Supergirl.
On Freeform, Danielle and Nick have a rustic outdoor vow renewal ceremony at Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort on Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings, which is a show for some reason.
Sure. On AMC, Jennifer's terrifying reach begins to stretch across the globe as its rampage continues on a new Dietland.
Roar!
That's not, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Not from those descriptions. FX is showing Furious 7, which is a better description of what that show.
Right? On FXX, Father Knows Worst, Simpsons Waverly Hills, and Bart Gets a Z on a Simpsons Marathon.
FXM will be showing Prometheus. Flawed, but interesting.
MTV, they have the 2018 MTV Movie and TV Awards.
And TV Awards.
Oh.
Nickelodeon is showing Evan Almighty. Can anyone tell me why Nickelodeon is showing Evan Almighty?
I don't know. BBC America is showing Blazing Saddles.
Road of Blazing. Sundance is showing Predators.
On Sci-Fi, we have Tomorrowland.
TNT showing Date Night, huh?
On Science, it's Space's deepest secrets. Are we going to probe those secrets?
Probably. WGN is showing Jurassic Park and Lost World, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because when a woman begins taking swim classes to help her overcome her fear of water, she becomes close friends with her instructor. But her life begins to change when she discovers the man she has fallen in love with is the husband of her new friend.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gail O'Grady, Lisa Rinna, and Dale Midkiff star in Another Woman's Husband.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Sierra cautiously opens up to Ben, tells him how Pinky Tuscadero was her hero and that's why she got into motorcycles. Hope makes an unsettling discovery, which is Sierra's having to spend time with Ben. JJ rushes Lonnie to the hospital, probably setting up a dramatic reveal for later, saying how they still love each other. Aww. Will has a flash of memory, but doesn't tell Paul. So what could that be about? Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
What I did geeky this week was listen to AF Grappin read a drabble I wrote on episode 62 of the Melting Podcast. When you get around 2345, you will likely tell that my favorite 2-Minute Danger Theater episode was an inspiration. However, you will want to start at the beginning because I think the short stories by Linton Bowers and Doc Blue that precede my microfiction are incredibly good. Did I mention these three stories were based on prompt involving superpowers? And that is from Zach, man. Well, Zach, that sounds damn interesting, so we got to find that out. And, I believe many people have gotten their inspiration from 2-Minute Danger Theater. I know that I certainly have, as well have been able to get out of a few scrapes that were very, very close. So if you've got something you'd like to share with us, like how much you enjoyed it after you listened to it, by all means, drop it up to podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send that voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
And describe it in great detail. We like stuff like that.
Do you like movies? Well, let me make you an offer that you can't refuse. Have you ever found yourself standing at the local Cineplex with that smell of freshly buttered popcorn wafting through your nostrils, wondering if that new Hugh Jackman movie is really worth your time? Or have you ever lamented about that time you spent scouring the vast expanse of the internet for movie and DVD release dates when, let's be honest, you'd rather be leveling up your Troll Hunter, working on the Great American Novel, or even watching kitten videos? Oh yes, I said kitten videos. I will do the work for you. All I ask is 15 to 30 minutes of your time every Tuesday. My name is Michael Faulkner, and every Tuesday is showtime at the weekly Podioplex, your audio guide to what's new at the box office, how the top 10 fared over the weekend, and what's coming to your home theater on DVD and Blu-ray. You can find the weekly Podioplex on the Chronic Rift Network at www.chronicrift.com, along with a plethora of other podcasts that explore the culture in pop culture. The weekly Podioplex, brought to you by the Chronic Rift. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the theater.
That's a wrap!
Geek Radio Daily? What's Geek Radio Daily? That sounds awesome! Why aren't you listening to it? My name is Steven.
Or Zach Allison, or whatever I'm doing today. Well, listen to Geek Radio Daily, that's the point.
It's always the point. There's no other point to this life other than that. I mean, you just heard it.
Right?
From him. I mean, come on, I didn't say it. It wasn't me.
Well, what did folks go and see today? Although it's at number 11, apparently a crazy ton of people went to see A Wrinkle in Time again.
Random. But this week's 10, last week's 7 book club made $1.8 $5 million, and it's made $62 million in 5 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 6, Adrift, which is not a PM Dawn film, $2.1 million, 26.8 in 3 weeks on a 35 budget.
Still hanging around this week's 8, last week's 5, Avengers Infinity Wars made another $5 million on its $664 million just U.S. in 8 weeks.
This week, 7's a new one, Superfly. $6.3 million, it's made 8.4 because it opened a little early on a $16 million budget.
This week's 6, last week's 4, Hereditary, which has made $7 million. It's made $27 million in 2 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 3, Deadpool 2, another $8.8 million, 294 in 5 weeks on a 110 budget. I think they're doing all right.
This week's 4, last week's 2, Solo, A Star Wars Story, put up another $9 million. It's made 193 almost U.S. in 4 weeks.
This week's 3 is another new one, Tag, where a bunch of grown-ups play tag since they've been playing tag since they were kids.
That looks fun.
$14.6 million on a budget of 28.
This week's 2, last week's 1, Ocean's 8, made another $19.5 million. It's made $79 million on a $70 million budget.
And the number one movie in America is Incredibles 2, Electric Incredibaloo, making $180 million dead even. So good job, everybody.
Wow.
We don't get to see that very often.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News! Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, nothing like waiting until the last minute. On Saturday, with just a few hours left in the cast and crew option, Netflix made a deal for comic book drama Lucifer, which will become a Netflix original starting with its upcoming fourth season. It follows a big hashtag Save Lucifer campaign, which is kind of right. Funny, I think. Buoyed by strong fan support, Lucifer producer Warner Brothers TV started shopping the series to streaming service and premium cables immediately after its cancellation more than a month ago, which means Fox has two shows this year that got picked up elsewhere. Oh, God, Netflix, why weren't you ready when they axed Firefly? Damn it!
Right?
There were so many interested buyers, including Netflix and Revel, Amazon. It took some time to iron things out because, like, the first three seasons streaming are owned by Hulu, which is weird. And complicating it is Lucifer is owned by different networks and platforms in international markets. Amazon in the UK and Germany. Weird, weird stuff. This also marks the first time a DC series has been on Netflix, which has been a big Marvel Universe drama series franchise. It also marks the first time Lucifer got saved.
Let's talk about Star Trek Discovery. I kind of didn't want to like the show, it being behind the paywall, the way they were doing this, etc. But wow, that was a good season. It did that in spite of production issues plaguing the first season of the show after showrunner Brian Fuller left. It seemed like smooth sailing was ahead, till we found out that Discovery showrunners Aaron Harberts and Gretchen Berg were fired from the show, and not for the usual creative differences, but for serious misconduct allegations. Said the pair was being abusive to the writing staff and ultimately let go for failing to provide effective leadership and possible budget mismanagement. The claim states so much budget was spent on the first episode of season 2 that with 5 episodes created, they were running out of budget for the remainder for season 2. Yeah, spoilers, they probably burned their cost cutting that time loop episode in season 1. The alleged abuse is that they shouted profanities at one of the members of the writing staff, and in response to this, the new showrunner for Star Trek Discovery will be Alex Kurtzman. Name sounds familiar. He's already involved in the show as an executive producer and directed the pilot episode for CBS, and he penned the 2009 Star Trek reboot and its sequel, Star Trek Into Darkness, which, you know, is a good film. Prove me wrong. Anyway, Kurtzman's right-hand man, Akiva Goldsman, will not be returning for season 2, as he's also said to have a falling out with the writing staff in season 1. Wow. Good for the writers for speaking up. No one should have to live or work in fear. The only way to defeat fear is to tell it no. No, we will not take shortcuts on the path to righteousness. No, we will not break the rules that protect us from our basest instinct. No, we will not allow desperation to destroy moral authority. Wait, did Harbertsenberg have goatees?
Incredibles 2. We waited a long time for it while suffering those damn car sequels.
It wasn't that bad.
Now, not good is not either. Now it's ruling the box office and could possibly kill you.
What?
Disney and Pixar have received some unexpected feedback as some viewers have taken to Twitter to advise other parents that the film has several scenes in which flashing lights, could pose a potential danger to those with epilepsy or other light-sensitive conditions.
Oh, snap.
Disney's already asked all cinemas that are showing the film to notify patrons of the scene in question. Twitter user Veronica Lewis was the first to issue a warning, saying the film is, quote, filled with tons of strobe and flashing lights, and explains that those with a photosensitive epilepsy, migraines, vision impairments, seizure conditions, vertigo, autism, ADHD, PTSD could experience a reaction to the images.
Yeah, know about ahead of time.
Some of the scenes are short, but one of the scenes lasts for like 90 seconds. Now, so far, no incidents as a result of watching Incredibles 2 have been reported, so whoosh. No word on them redoing the scene, which would be rather difficult to quickly fix. Just close your eyes when the Pokemon shows up on screen. Wait, folks still remember that happened, right?
Right? Wow. Google it, kids. Warner Brothers is cracking down on local Harry Potter fan festivals around the country, saying it's necessary to halt unauthorized commercial activity, a.k.a. they want some money out of it, of course. Fans see the move as, you know, something Dolores Umbridge would do, sucking the life out of the homegrown fun. Festival directors say they will just, you know, tweak the events. So it's just a general celebration of magic, you know, maybe about a boy named Larry Trotter.
Sure.
Sure. Well, there is an annual Harry Potter festival in suburban Philadelphia. Well, there was. As Philip Dawson, Chestnut Hill business director, said, Warner Brothers reached out to his group in May, letting them know new guidelines prohibit festivals' use of any names, places, or objects from the film series. That rules out everything from, you know, a meet and greet with Dumbledore and Harry to any defense against the dark art classes. Huh. It could be because the festival was drawing like 45,000 fans last year. So this year they will have a Wands and Wizards family night and pub crawl and other magical themed events. And people can still dress as their favorite characters. Well, until Warner sues them for visual trademark infringement. Anyway, they're not the only one to get a cease and desist from the entertainment company. All around the country, Aurora, Illinois, Ithaca, New York, were also told the new guidelines would prohibit much of the Potter-themed activities that are usually free events. For Warners, they say it's all about protecting the trademark. Fans of the Philadelphia Festival are trying to get, you know, J.K. Rowling involved to maybe help, but a spokeswoman for the author says she has no comment. The festival crackdown is not the first time they've put an Avada Kedavra on Potter-themed fun. A woman in the U.K. was sent a cease and desist over 2003 Hogwarts-themed dinner party. This must have been pretty elaborate, with a guest list around 30. So we get it. You don't want people thinking these are, you know, WB events, but who was really thinking that? They won't even let places have chocolate frogs because they claim trademark infringement. And I think Monty Python would like to have a word with him about that. So, no family fun festivals for you. Meanwhile, think about this, right? Porn parodies are still protected by the First Amendment. Okay, Warners, that's where you want to go with this.
Okay, that's fine. You know, we've been saying it for so long, but here, I'm here to tell you. Alien life is real, and it is in Virginia. The government is covering it up and calling it giant hogweed, an invasive plant that can cause third-degree burns and permanent blindness. It's been found in Virginia, according to researchers at the Massey Herbarium. Herbarium? Herbarium.
Herbarium?
Massey Herbarium at Virginia Tech. So far, there's been just one confirmed sighting of giant hogweed in Clark County, Virginia. But this plant also grows in New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. Experts are currently investigating potential sightings in other parts of the state. Contact with the plant sap in combination with sun exposure can lead to those extreme conditions. Mm. Not only can the plant sap cause painful blisters, but if it gets in your eye, there's a potential for blindness, according to the New York Department of Environmental Conservation. The plant, which is in the carrot family, can not only pose a threat to your skin, but is also an impact to the environment. It can grow up to 14 feet. It deeply shades areas. It inhabits the growth of native species. Just like the thing, a carrot's coming to kill us all. The plant's hollow stems are generally 2 to 4 inches in diameter, with dark purple and red raised spots and bristle-like hairs. The umbrella-shaped white floral blooms grow up to 2.5 feet wide.
Damn!
The plant can easily be mistaken for other harmless plants such as Queen Anne's lace and cow parsnip, because I'm always
Queen Anne's lace, actually.
Looking for cow parsnip. Residents are warned not to use a weed whacker to remove the plant because the sap will splatter and spread quickly.
Gross.
Eradication should be done by physical removal or using herbicides such as glyphosate or triclopyr, which I don't know how to say.
I don't know. But how is this alien life?
Well, look, they can call it what they want. But these damn things are triffids. Fill some super soakers with seawater, because there is no sense in getting killed by a plant. Hell no. GRD
is licensed.
Ain't going
out like that.
Under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative United States Works 3.0 license. And I hope John Wyndham's family is very happy that I made this invasive plant part of his world. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you visit youtube.com/geekradiodaily. Always a fun time indeed. You never know what you're going to see there. And please drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. You can send the written word, and maybe this time I remember to record it since I already am, but the phone number would be
510-GRD-CREW.
So there it is.
And I promise I'm checking it.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Gosh. What else are we going
to
do?
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
I have no patience for useless things.
Honey, I detect no source of amusement.
Good night, suckers!
Do not bring your evil here. I warn you.
Well, we just got out of that in time. The trolley car's a wreck. Smashed into a million pieces.
Where are you going? What are you doing to us?
What's happening? Put us down.
Don't be frightened. You're all right. I had to get you out of there in a hurry. Pulling off that roof was the only way. Now we're going down again. Down. Down. There you are. Safe and sound in the field.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Quite all right, Professor. Getting you and the boy out of that car was nothing.
I can't believe it.
Who are you, anyway? Where do you come from?
I have no name. I come from a world that no longer exists. Here in this world of yours, men would call me a Superman.
It's a dream. A wild, impossible dream.
But, Dad, it happened. We saw it. He flew down, took us under his arms.
And out of the car, that's all. Nothing so strange about that.
And you saved our lives, Jimmy's and mine. I don't understand even now, but I'm grateful.
Are you, Professor?
Well, do you doubt it?
Would you do something to prove it?
Would we? Anything at all.
Then make me a promise. Promise that you'll say nothing at all about what's happened.
What? Don't you want people to know?
Not just yet. I want no one to know. Except those I help.